Erie Township.
Kim Mattson, Carmen Township.
John Olkerman, Mercer County Commissioner.
Nick Bowers, Erie Township.
Craig Hall, Highland Township.
Kyle Varberg, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
Nikki Bradbury, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
All right, thank you. Before we get started, minutes from the March meeting, is there any corrections or additions?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Got a motion to approve, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Cole. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign, motion carried. All right, I will go over the protocol for this evening's meeting. I will introduce any old business that was set aside from a previous meeting. Then we'll introduce new business, which will consist of conditional use permits, change of zone, and preliminary plot approvals. I ask the applicant to step forward, introduce their application. I would ask no one in the general audience to direct any comments to the applicant without going through this board. Sufficient time will be given to those who would like to comment on the application. After all have spoken, we'll ask the admin staff to read any written correspondence not in our packet. So just so it's clear, if we receive the letter ahead of time, we will not be reading them. They're already into the minutes and into the information for tonight's meeting. We'll then close testimony and the board will deliberate. This board is one of recommendation to the County Board of Commissioners. They will address these matters around 9:30 a.m. on next Tuesday, May 7th. I ask everybody to shut off cell phones and we will begin. Before we get into the old business, I know a number of you are here to speak to the OLEC application. We're going to move that to last on the agenda. We'll do everything else in front of that and that one will be last. So, old business, we do have one.
That application is still tabled, Mr. Chair, so we'll begin with new business, which is Four Sons requesting a final plat for 10 lots to be known as Rock Lake Estates. There's actually one correction. The plat has changed to Four Sons Acres. Otherwise, it's still the same request. No change in number of lots or anything of that nature.
All right, thank you, Kyle. Is the applicant here?
Yes.
Please step forward.
Levi Arneson with Four Sons.
All right, Levi.
Well,
is there any, other than what Kyle said, any other changes to the application?
No, just that name.
All right. Any questions for the applicant? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the general audience to speak to this application? Please step forward, state your name.
Trent Fartels. With the acreage, I believe it was always 99 acres that they had on that parcel. And I'm just questioning, how do they get the acreage when they already sold the 50 acres of the 49, or out of the 99? So there's only 49 acres left. How do they get that acreage to get up to those totals?
For the four lots?
Correct.
No, so it's 10 lots. They did used to have 90-some acres. Is that correct, Levi?
Yep.
They sold, they did a boundary line adjustment and sold a northerly 30-some acres to an existing residence there, but that acreage was never part of this plat. There's actually still land that they're retaining in between this plat and the neighbor to the north, who is Todd.
Right.
So they're still retaining some land even within, in between those two.
Besides the 33 acres and the 17 acres that was sold?
Yes.
And that equals 99 acres?
The total would have, yeah. So it's, this is less what they sold to Todd, but they're not platting the entire area that they own.
But for clarification, these lots are all legal lots.
They are.
Buildable lots.
Yep.
Yeah, but, okay. That's all the
right.
Question was. They're not
yep.
any variances to build.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Thank you.
Any questions for? All right, thank you. Anybody else in the audience speak to this application? Anybody else speak to this application? Any written correspondence, Scott?
None other than the two you received.
All right. We'll put them into the minutes of that. So We'll close testimony. Discussion of the board.
Already approved it once.
Right.
So I don't know. It can tender no changes, so.
Okay.
You ready for a motion?
I'm ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve as submitted.
Got a motion by Cole. Do I have a second? Second by Tommy. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call a vote. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
The second applicant is Sioux Pass Ranch, requesting a change of zone from agricultural to commercial.
Good evening. State your name, please.
Mark Bierke for Sioux Pass Ranch.
Right. Give us a little information on what you're doing, please.
We're requesting to change from our agricultural designation to commercial. We've been paying taxes as commercial since as long as I know and as far back as they could find out. And we just want to make sure we get the benefit out of having commercial property with our building codes and permits. So we have several building projects out there, so it's going to change our permeable surface and height of buildings, and our conditional use permit allows us to do some more things out there. It's not the whole property we're looking for, it's just where our concert hall is.
So are you gonna, Mark, then change it so that that's a different parcel? Because currently that's all one piece.
Yeah, it'll be subdivided, yes. Currently,
there's actually two parcels there, 6,000 and 5,000, right?
Right.
So you're wanting 6,000 and a portion of 5,000.
Because that part of that is also part of our net bowl area. Yeah, essentially, it's the area between 59 and 22.
And now, just for the record, they will be required still to do a conditional use permit.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Okay. They still have to meet the requirements of that plan annually.
Okay.
All right, any other questions for Mark? Right, thank you, Mark.
Thanks.
Is there anybody else in the general audience that would like to speak to this application? Anybody else want to speak to this application? All right, any written correspondence, Kyle?
No.
All right, with that we will close testimony. Discussion of the board.
There's not on that one, right?
Yeah, I think as long as it's just those, the area between 22 and 59, so it isn't that whole area, I have no objection.
Already being used in that capacity.
Right.
And being taxed for it.
Yeah. And they have to have the conditional use, so if the county wants to put certain restrictions, they can.
They can, yeah.
State DOT or anybody can take control. That's a good thing.
All right. Any further discussion? If not, I would entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Got a motion by Tommy to approve. Do I have a second?
Got
a second by Jeff. Any further discussion? Hearing none, call a vote. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
The fourth applicant, Lake Life Hospitality, requesting a conditional use permit to construct a 10-foot fence.
Good evening. State your name, please.
My name is Mike Loveless. I'm with the project manager for Lighthouse Construction.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the 10-foot fence and the reasoning behind it, please?
Lake Life Properties owns that. We call it the County 17 land. And they want to build a 10-foot-high fence around it, and then they want to store company boats and docks and stuff there. And the county will allow us to do a 6-foot fence, I believe, but they want to put 2 10-foot.
Questions for Mike?
And why is it you're wanting that extra 4 feet?
Just for security, basically.
The other storage, what size is their fence?
6 foot.
We did get a letter regarding that, obviously it could be hearsay, but that they're going to potentially use this for housing.
I'm not aware of that, no.
Any
theory, it could be used for housing because it is old motel. But you've seen in that letter what they were saying that the potential was, or what the neighborhood was here.
That rumor's been going around for several years, but I've never been told that.
What is going to go on at the top of the fence? Barbed wire, razor wire?
Just a bar. There'd be a top bar, a center bar, and a lower bar.
Typically, we don't put a bar at the top because it's easier to get over. I ain't no offense to that.
You know from experience, sir.
I mean, you wouldn't put a bar. I mean, nobody in security puts a bar. You
know? No, I get.
That's why you can go lower. Then it's harder to get over and get your pants on.
All right, any other questions for Mike? All right, thank you, Mike. You may have a seat. Anybody in the general audience to speak to this application? So please step forward.
My name is Josh Bright. I live at 11418 Dakota Beach Road. I'm adjacent to the property. I've been there. I'm 68 now. My parents bought the property when I was 7. I've seen it be Twin Arrows. I've seen it be the Treehouse Pump. I've seen it be County 17. And I have some questions. How's that property zoned right now? Do we know?
I'll tell you in 1 second.
I'm pretty sure it's ag.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure too, but zone is agricultural.
Okay, so it's agricultural. Has there been any requests to change that?
No, sir.
Okay. Is a liquor license still attached to that property?
That would be through the state of Minnesota, and I have no clue.
Okay.
I mean,
maybe the commission might want to find that out. There was a liquor license that was zoned for the treehouse. You know, in the intentions of what that property is going to become at a future date, would love to know if that liquor license is still active. I think that's why the property was bought in the first place, was to either stop competitors for the hotel or whatever, but also to maybe build in the future. Do we know what any of the intentions are? He says to store boats. Does that mean he's going to put up a pole barn? We're going to approve a fence. What's he going to do with that property in the future? Does anybody have any idea? Okay. Has he applied for any other permits?
No, just the fence.
Okay. So you've seen no designs for any development or anything like that? It's
no.
Going to be outside storage only? Okay. And this is going to be for rental, right?
Please direct your comments.
I'm sorry. This is going to be for rental. So if I have a boat and I want to rent a space in that plot, I can go ahead and rent from them?
I think the gentleman stated that it would be for company docks and lifts.
So okay.
Their own.
They're running a lake life dock and lifts away.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, I know the Hansons, they own a ton of restaurants and a ton of property. I can't believe that they have that many boats to fill up that property.
1 acre.
They haven't requested any other variances other than this?
No.
Okay. Hopefully there might be a storage unit up there. There's storage units all over there. But I've looked around. I've got a partner here or a neighbor who's looked around. Tell me anywhere else in this area that has a 10-foot fence, chain link, that you guys have approved ever.
You approved some, but not in this application, but they have been approved.
They have been approved. Even the airport doesn't have one.
Right.
Okay. That's all my comments. Thank you very much for your time.
Any questions?
One question. Regard the liquor license, that hasn't been reapplied for many years, so it'd be null and void.
Okay. That's kind of what I figured. It falls off after a while and things like that.
I believe it's
every year, pretty much.
Yeah,
every year it would have to be renewed.
Yeah.
They don't follow the property. They don't. It would follow an ownership. You have to apply for them.
Right.
And that has nothing to do with us. Now they do require approval from either the city or the county, or depends on what
the jurisdiction for township board.
And any non-conforming use right that they would have had with the former building and with its location to the road and everything like that would be discontinued because that burned years ago, and by statute that time is long gone.
Okay. Then, how can I say this? Let's say we approve the fence, and then they're going to come to you and they're going to say, okay, now we want to change the agricultural to multifamily housing. That's at a future date?
Right, that would go through a process. Yeah, there's a process it has to go through. I mean, zone A, they could build a house.
I do have a question for Kyle, because if it's company docks and lifts, this is technically a commercial capacity. So they should have a conditional use.
No, they own the property. There's no exchange of money there. It's not commercial.
Yeah, but they're putting, you can't tell me they're not bringing the dock, the boat from Longbridge that they rent out, or I mean.
Well, they can't bring somebody else's. It would have to be their own personal.
I heard the gentleman say company boats. So to me, it's commercial use.
Well,
that's my question.
Be a second. It would be something for us to enforce. It would be separate from this, then, I guess, essentially. But I mean, I understood it was for their personal items from their business, is what I understood. I didn't.
Personal items from the business are your own by the business. That's commercial, right?
No, it's your own business. You're not exchanging money. Right. You own that property.
You're not leasing, selling anything on this?
Somebody else.
It's no.
Not a commercial.
Longbridge or.
Right. I mean, it's no different than you storing your boat at your property, right? I mean, they own, just because they're a business, it's their property, it's their boats.
But if they operate a business in agriculture, why would you conditional use? Just like a storage facility needs that.
So there's no exchange. It'd be like if Cole wants to take his personal dock out of Lake Melissa and put it on the property is the way we're viewing it.
But that dock's gaining them commercial gains 6 months out of the year.
His personal dock on Lake Melissa?
Not personal dock. I didn't say.
No, that's what I'm looking at. We're not looking at storing customer stuff there. That was never what I believe the intent was.
Well, that's what the applicant said.
Right now I have pictures of three abandoned vehicles that are parked on the lot that he doesn't own. That I just took tonight.
There you go. I mean, and the gentleman that proposed the application said company.
Those abandoned vehicles belong to an employee that works.
Okay, so that's an employee. That's not personal.
I don't think unless the employee's paying to store it there, it wouldn't be commercial.
I would agree with that.
Because if you allow me to store a vehicle on your property, that doesn't constitute commercial use. If I'm paying you, then it would be that way.
Okay, so I just asked and got a head nod of no. It's only for personal uses of the owners. Now you're telling me that you can go ahead and I can give you $100 and I can put my dock there for them.
No, not if you give them $100. That's the difference. If you pay them, then it's a commercial. If they say, well, you work for us and you can just store it there, there's no commercial transaction. That's the difference. Nobody can pay them to put something there.
Otherwise, they'd have to get a conditional use for that.
For that purpose.
Because they're making them profit.
Yeah. Okay, those are my questions. Thank you. Any other for me?
Right, thank you. Anybody else to speak to this application? Please step forward.
Hello, my name is Eric Gordon. I own the property adjacent to the property that we're talking about. My kitchen window is 30 feet away from my 4 foot chain link fence that I have there. Been there for 25 years. All of a sudden, I have a resort there. I got people that come up to the house, enjoy a glass of wine, have a good time, wherever it may be, wherever they want to do. Up at my place or up the glass atrium that I have as my store, they look across 30 feet, less than 30 feet away, 10 foot chain link fence. I really don't know what to say besides that. I don't think any one of us here in this room would want a 30 foot or a 10 foot chain link fence. And besides that, I have documentation that you guys sent to me that has the description of the legal land description and also says a vacated road. This vacated road, according to my quick deed title, states that I own that vacated road from the township from years ago. So I don't know if you have a picture of exactly, do you guys have a a marker on the back of it. I have the actual, and may I give you guys a copy?
That's what we have.
With the blue?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. According to here, it says a vacated road. According to my quickly, it also states, Article 4, that I have a 30-foot wide vacated township road running from the west, County Road 17, down to Dakota Beach Road, and has a bunch of stuff that I don't understand. So in saying all this, I simply just either, I don't want to get a 10-foot chain link fence 30 feet away from my kitchen, from my business, from my neighbors. And saying that, if I don't want it, period, if that doesn't agree with everybody, I would simply love to table this situation just because of where that fence is going to go. And if there's a question between the vacated road, I would like to make sure that that's taken care of before fence goes up and waste any amount of money or time. Any questions?
Question for Eric.
There's a fence on which side? Are you talking on the south side?
Yes.
Correct. 4-foot fence. If you look just to the south of there, that's my home. That's
okay.
My house. Homesteaded, mom and pop operation. Been there 25 years.
Yep. That blue line kind of comes
up. They would like to put a 10-foot fence right there, sir.
Yep.
30 feet away from my window. And I got people that come in, drive in. I people do what they want with their land, but the 10-foot fence coming in, I'm trying to make a place pleasable for people to come in as a business owner. And I got 10-foot fence with what we said, barbed wire, razor wire, or I'm sorry, I just personally, I don't think it makes any sense.
All right, any other questions for Eric? Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the general audience speak to this application? Anybody else speak to this application? All right. Written testimony, Kyle?
None other than what you received.
All right. That will close testimony. Open it up for discussion of the board.
I guess my opinion is I really haven't seen the need for it. I don't know why a standard 6-foot, if they want to do that. I mean, that's what we see around all the other short areas. I think they're fine. I don't see the need for anything like that.
There's storage units right across the road that aren't even fenced. And I'm also a store.
Right.
There's a problem with that I'm not aware of either. You want to, I mean, security would be nice if you're not around or yourself or with your right. But six can do it, I mean, unless you're trying to. A fence isn't going to keep any unhonest person out, so why not be a reasonable? An unhonest person can deal with a fence. Right? I mean,
correct. And I don't, if you jump a 6-foot fence or a 10-foot fence, are you going to carry a dock out?
You just cut your way through it.
Yeah.
That bottom, if you're looking at the bottom right-hand corner, that cuts into that road, is that, can they go right along that blue line?
Yeah, I think those blue lines aren't accurate. That's
okay.
That's just the county, right? They can give or take.
They'd have to have a survey.
They'd have to get a survey to know where that line
is. Yeah, because that one, it looks like you couldn't even get a scooter past it if you built all the way to that. That bottom corner.
Yeah. Right. Well, do you think that 4-foot fence, if I remember when I was up there, that doesn't have a jog in it?
Yeah.
It does.
See, and so you can see the jog on the map. And so that was trying to give them room to get in there.
Right, so you can put a jog on that other side, you know, to match it.
Almost.
Yeah.
May I step up?
Jeff,
no. Exactly.
No. No.
But again, property line to property line, so I mean, I can't.
Right. Yeah, right.
So it'd be a neighborly thing to do.
On that be what? That's there currently. And that's what he was talking about too. The same that you own.
Right.
Kind of that corner.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, who knows if that approach was put in appropriately, you know, and make them and put in there 70 years ago now in the right spot.
I just have a question for the applicant, if they would even consider shortening the fence to a 6-foot fence. The reasoning, the
Applicant, would you please step forward?
6 foot would be permissible.
What's your question?
My question to you is, would you consider having a 6 foot fence rather than a 10 foot fence?
If we don't get this conditional use permit, yeah, we're gonna put a 6 foot fence in. And we did have metal land surveyed, so we know exactly where the pins are.
But you would consider a 6 foot?
Yeah, I don't think we need any special paperwork.
That could be put up, yeah, we're just looking for a little bit of security.
I have a question for the applicant too.
All right, see.
Do you have lights in this area for?
There's no gas or electric.
There's no lights at all, or anything?
And there hasn't been any discussion about any security lights.
What was their reason for a 10 foot fence?
Just for security.
Was it with Hanson Brothers?
Yes, Hanson Brothers.
All right, you may have a seat.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, I would call for a motion.
I make a motion to deny the application.
We have a motion by Mary to deny the application. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
A second by Craig. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All those in favor to deny the application, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Application denied.
Final applicant. Robert and Bradley Olick requesting a conditional use permit for a commercial plan unit development for 49 units.
All right, before we get started, I'm going to set a few rules. There's a lot of people here this evening. First off, I'm going to ask, how many in the general audience are planning to speak to this application? Please raise your hand. Now, I'm also going to tell you, if you submitted a letter, I would ask that you not step to the mic and read your letter to us. That's already in our packet. We have read them ahead of time, and they're already submitted as part of the record. Now, if you have something to add that you did not have in your letter, please feel free to step forward. And then also only step forward if you have something new testimony. We don't need to hear the same reason 15 times over again. So just to kind of keep this process moving. Now, I will let the applicant introduce their application. Then if there is somebody, obviously there's a lake association involved here. If you have a spokesperson and a head of your lake association would like to speak, I will give them sufficient time to speak. Or if they have legal counsel, I will give them sufficient time to speak. Everybody else, I will be limiting it to 2.5 minutes. So I ask you then to step forward. Only give information or testimony of something we have not already heard, just to keep this process moving. As I say, we don't need to hear the same thing multiple times, as we've read it multiple times in these letters. So with that, ask the applicant to please step forward.
Thank you for your time. My name is Bob Olick. I represent my brother, Brad, and myself for the conditional use permit for the RV park on Little Cormorant Lake. We're asking for 49 campsites and 15 boat slips. We've engaged Apex Engineering. John is here tonight from Apex. He prepared the SWEP plan, I believe, sent that in the last few days. Also participated in the tech panel last week and listened to lots of the commentary that was there. And our intention is to, if this is approved, to follow all the requested, guidelines and, rules and regulations that they need for such a RV park. I guess I would say that, our stance on hoping for the approval of the permit is we believe that there's a sufficient demand for additional RV camping sites in the lake area. Almost every campsite you can check with has a waiting list. So there, it's really difficult for people to obtain a camping use. I would also say that, you know, with the intention of a growing community, growing population, there's a lot of people that want to enjoy the lake country and enjoy the natural resources, and certainly not everybody is able to afford a lake home with today's valuation. So camping is a great alternative for those individuals that want to participate in lake country. From the tech panel last week, you know, one of the things that I guess I heard is of the potential opportunities with this development land that currently is being used as farmland. Other potential opportunities would be, you know, the RV park that we're proposing and or single family subdivision. From what I heard from the meeting from an environmental standpoint, the least intrusive impact environmentally would potentially be the RV park. And currently with farmland, you have the farmland chemical and soil erosion that exists today that was stated at that meeting that it's probably the worst impact on the lake environmentally, and a subdivision could also be more negatively construed than an RV park from a development standpoint. I guess the other benefits we believe this would do would be an increased tax base for the county, which is, you know, always an interest to lessen tax burden for everyone else if you can have appropriate development to increase the tax base for everybody. And I mean, I guess the last thing we would state, certainly answering any other questions you'd have, would be, you know, the lake area obviously being based on tourism, this would be another benefit to you know, the county lake area for the bringing people in from a tourism perspective, for the all the things that people use around the lake, the restaurants, the retail, the bait shops, everything that the people bring their commerce into the lake area.
All right, any questions for Bob?
Will you be running this campground?
Yes, we plan to have active management. Myself, I'm hoping that within a short period of time that I would be involved in that directly. In the short term, as we would get through developing it, and there would be other active management, but I would be very much involved with that.
Which one of the three plans are you really trying to?
Number two,
yeah.
Yeah, it said that the SWIFT was designed for number two. That was just going to be my question. And I've seen the tech panel last said that it's an impaired waters, so does that your SWIFT meet those requirements of the impaired waters, or is it a generic SWIFT?
I'm going to have to defer to John.
Oh, that's fine.
My name is John Olson with Apex Engineering Group, here on behalf of the Olix, who's been contracted to assist with the stormwater management plan as well as grading plan for development. Yes, the SWIFT will absolutely meet all MPC requirements as it relates to impaired waters. Currently, the SWIFT notes that the impairment is for non-construction related. I haven't done my final review on it. Certainly, if it is a construction-related impairment, we'll make sure that those special requirements are included in the final plan before we sign it.
I have one question. Have you met with the township to see how you're going to handle the additional traffic on that road on 190th, such as the base of bituminous surface to it?
I don't believe that meeting has happened yet, but it's being planned, I believe, in the coming weeks.
Yeah, Commissioner Olkeson, it'll be Monday, May 6th, the day before your meeting.
That is a concern I've gotten from Ottawa Township supervisors. The road itself is in pretty rough shape already, and I travel that frequently over to Bird Dog area on 175th.
Any other questions for the applicant? All right, thank you. May I have a seat? All right, anybody else to speak to this application? Please step forward. please state your name, but also who are you representing?
Sounds good. My name is Owen Ramsey-Squiles. I represent the Lake Association. Hopefully, I can make my comments pretty quick, and we'll maybe get some other people not being able, or some people who will not talk about that. So I just would like to, we wrote a letter. I submitted that letter earlier this morning. I would just like to make a quick correction to my letter. The letter states in the first opening paragraph that we didn't receive the SWIP. We received that at about 4 o'clock yesterday, and I was unaware of when I submitted the letter. So just making sure that we all know that. I'd just like to kind of highlight some of the points that the letter brings out. The Lake Association, and I believe some of the homeowners around the lake, are really concerned about the boat access on Little Comer. Currently, as you saw in that letter, the boat access is relatively small. And with 34, they will have 15 slips at the campground. They will have 49 units. That means that there are 34 people who would theoretically become day users of Little Cormorant Lake. That is going to overwhelm an already taxed boat access, and the association is just concerned about where those people will be parked, how they're going to handle that, if there's any plans for the additional use. We recognize that the DNR really has control over that, but we don't feel that it's appropriate for this plan to be approved without any idea about how that access would accommodate those users. There's also some concern about the channel. There's a very narrow channel that is would be the only way for somebody to get from the access to this property. And currently, as it sits, it is it's only wide enough for one boat at a time. That could cause some congestion on the lake in that area, make it hard for the users or for the property owners around the lake to use the lake as it's currently, as this plan sits. So basically, the Lake Association just wants some additional plans, little notes on how those things are going to happen. I would like to just also bring out that a wetland delineation was recommended before the Planning Commission approved or denied this request. And as of right now, I have not seen that, and I don't believe we have received one. And I think that is pretty important. I know that the applicant just said that they're moving forward with design number two, but according to that meeting, design number three might have a road or would have a road going through a potential wetland. And I think that having the idea that they don't necessarily know where the wetlands are as it relates to their plans is a concerning nature. And so, the Lake Association just wants more information. Basically, it's our position that the applicant does not have some of the information required or has not provided the information that was recommended by the tech panel, and it should be, we should wait until we get that information. I will take any questions if you have any. Other than that, I will thank you for your time.
Bill, that narrow channel, is that a no wake zone area, or how was that marked?
I believe it's a no wake zone, and it is marked by some buoys. I did in the letter, there are some pictures of the channel. The Lake Association currently goes out and marks the channel. It's apparently very hard to navigate. In full disclosure, I've never been on the channel, so I'm going from what my clients tell me. And just the use of that channel, while obviously public water, it's concerning with the increase in boat traffic and the necessity from the to use it from the access to the proposed project.
Thank you, Dylan. Any other questions for Dylan?
On that channel, the day I was out there watching, there was a boat went through there, and it's quite long. They have to go through pretty slow, and I understand it's like a turn, every other direction. Each time somebody wants to go, they have to switch off. That takes a long time to get through there. These other 34 boats you're talking about, do you expect them to come up to the campground then? Is that what you're...
Well, given the fact that excuse me. I don't know what 34 people are going to do, right? But there is the potential for 34 people who would want to use the lake, who would need to take their boats on the trailers, drive it over to the lake, to the public access, and then use the boat. And then either, depending on how crowded the access is, somebody might have to take the boat and trailer back. Theoretically, that person would want to be on the lake. The boat user would have to drive through the channel, or somebody who just doesn't want to, you know, put their boat in and out all day. You know, they want to have access to the boat throughout the day, so they bring their boat through the channel to the property, and you kind of use the channel to get to and from the lake, to and from the access from the property. And obviously, the 15 people who are lucky enough to get a boat, to use a boat slip, would also theoretically have to use the channel at some point.
So for you then, the idea of 15 slips, it's really, you know, that 15 plus another possibly 30 boats from people who don't have a slip that would be using that part of the lake and accessing the campground. And
there is the potential for that. I would imagine somebody who uses one of these units on a lake, such as Little Cormorant, would want to use a boat. They're not necessarily one of the 15. Again, we don't have any plans, so we don't know if they're only going to limit the boats to 15 people on, you know, who rent a unit. You know, I guess that's just one of the kind of questions that we have. But the potential currently is for somebody to be a day user, 34 people to be a day user.
Any other questions for Dylan?
I would just like to add that just at this meeting, we learned that there's a meeting regarding a road that's happening after the approval. I think that, again, that just shows that we're having a little bit maybe cut before the horse.
And we are a board of recommendation. The county commission is obviously, as you know,
yep.
The final say.
So. I'm aware. I just want to make sure that I get my two cents in on that as well.
No, I appreciate that, Dylan. All right. Thank you. Is there anybody else in the general audience representing a group of people? All right, please step forward.
Wasn't pointing at my name is Kevin Vander. Our cabin is at 16131 Sugar Island Road. We're the host directly opposite from the channel. My dad.
Excuse me just a minute. Are you representing a group of people?
No.
Just yourself?
Just myself.
Okay, just hold on a minute. Is there anybody else, any other legal counsel, anybody here representing a group of people? All right. So now I'm going to set the timer.
Okay. Make it quick.
That's all. Like I said, I know you had legal counsel, and those people, I wanted to make sure we give ample time. And not saying yours isn't as important, but we have a number of people, so move this in an orderly fashion. So,
okay, can I start?
Yes,
okay.
Please
do. Thank you, Kevin Vanderick again, 1619, directly right across from the channel. My dad and I, my brother, dug the channel out back in 73. I do know from seeing boats every day that I figure that the extra boats on a busy day, there's going to be lines in both directions. Only one boat can get through there at a time. Quagmire. It would be a quagmire right there. We can't offset anything with the surroundings there. The other thing I'm really concerned with, and I'll finish, is the landing. There's just not enough room there for people to park on landing. Thank you.
Hold on a minute.
Okay.
Just in case somebody has a question for you. So do you live there year round?
No, I don't.
Okay.
We've had the property since 73.
Okay.
My folks passed away 11 years ago.
So in the summertime, do you generally see, is there a line of boats trying to get back and forth through there now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and it's going to get worse. I just can't imagine another 15, 20 boats on that lake. And I know they'll want to go through the channel because they'll want to go to the big part of the lake. We're on the other side, the smaller part, and it'll be a quagmire. And there's nothing we can do with that.
All right. Any other questions for Kevin? Thank you. Have a seat. Anybody else to speak to this application? We got two. Hold on.
I'll go.
So my name is Rob Jackson. I live at 16473 Sugar Island Road, and we're very near to the development, actually nearly across from it. And everything that's been said about the channel is true. That's a very congested area, but there's an area leading up to the channel that would be very impacted. We're on the shoreline, and it's a pretty steep shoreline on the other side of the lake from the development. And that boat traffic that would be congesting coming up to the channel would also be parked out in our home area and would impact our shore erosion. So there would need to be a study done on impact assessment for the shoreline on both sides leading up to that development.
Great. Any questions for him? All right, you may sit down. All right, now we'll step forward. State your name, please.
Thank you. My name is Fred Wright. I'm from Detroit Lakes in Moorhead. My wife, Paula, and I own a small cabin on Little Carmen Lake. You should be in possession of a letter and an email that we've already sent in to the committee. I'd like to expand on one thing that's mentioned in there briefly. I also should mention that I'm a director of the Lake Association, so that's why I tried to get up here before. Little Cormorant, the Cormorant area out there, is in the southwest corner of Becker County. That area currently, in your current Becker County comprehensive plan that you're working under, that you're living under right now, is designated as a natural resource priority area. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the comprehensive plan. It's pretty thick and it's old. I understand that you're thinking about updating this as we're going on, but as of right now, this is what should be guiding you. On page, with me here, page 83 of the Becker County Comprehensive Plan, it specifies, it arrows, here's the portion of the map that includes Cormorant, Little Cormorant, Maud units, that part of the county. It specifies that the lake carrying capacity throughout the county and protect against overdevelopment. This is what they have designated this part of the county for. Along those lines, further on in the on page 110 of your current comprehensive plan, it also makes mention of strategies for development or usage going forward. And the very top priority in this part of the county reads as follows: lake and watershed carrying capacity. Create a process for designating lake and watershed carrying capacities in regard to different types of land use, and then it goes on from there. So this is something I think that you should give a very, very serious thought to. In addition to that, I'm sure all of you are familiar with that part of the county. There are currently already three campgrounds or RV parks there. There's one on Cormorant and there's two on Leaf. We bought our cabin in 07. In 0, and I wasn't there, but in 03, 04, 05, somewhere 2 or 3 years before we bought ours, there was an application, I understand, that went in for a campground on the north end of Little Cormorant that was denied. Here we are 15, 18 years later. People are coming forth requesting the same thing. The priority hasn't changed. The comprehensive plan hasn't changed. What has changed on Cormorant, it's more developed now than it was then, but it's been developed in an orderly way. 150, it's a recreational development lake, 150 foot frontage, one dock. There's people on that lake that bought properties years ago that...
I'll give you another minute since you're part of the Lake Association.
There are people that bought property on that lake years ago, maybe put a trailer or a motorhome on there. And over the years, they've paid for it. They own the land now. They're more successful in their business, their job. They built a seasonal or perhaps a year-round retirement home. That's what we've seen out there progressing. This would run counter to all of that. If you have any questions, I'd be happy.
Any questions for Fred? Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, Fred. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else to speak to this application? All right, please step forward.
Hi, Dennis Ertle, and I have a quick question. It's not directly to the campground area, but the east side of this property is adjacent to the property I own to the south. And so I'm curious on what the plans are for that property. You know, is that an expansion to the to what's going on there, or is it?
It's not part of this application, and honestly, we can't address it because it's their property. It's not part of this application. So
it's not plotted out to do anything beyond that driveway?
Well, the only thing, the information we have is what they've plotted here for this property. I mean, this chunk of it.
Okay.
So
on number two?
Yes, on number two.
Okay. That's all I needed.
Right.
Thanks.
Jason Brislin, 16515 Bird Dock Road, full-time resident. Just wanted to illustrate on the point of 150 feet of frontage. That lot is actually a perfect example of what our lake is. Our lake has more mileage of shoreline than any lake in probably Minnesota, compared to the acreage of water, right? Because of the shape and everything. If you measure that lot, you'll come up to about 1,800 feet of frontage. If you measure width of that lot or that parcel, you're 1,200. So you would have 850-foot lots that could go in there based on the width of the parcel. Based on the contour, you'll get 1,800. So then you can do your math and come up to a higher number of slips, right? So which is the right math to use? I don't know. Just want to illustrate the point, because when we talk about the species and everything that are in that lake, DNR has a small island right out in the middle, right directly in front there, that belongs to DNR, so they should know that area very well. They do studies from there. It's a question worth asking. And then also, when the delineation is done, we'll find that about half of that frontage is wetland. I'm confident, but I don't do delineation. So when the delineation is done, that can again change the calculations. I do think that we're a little in front of ourselves until that data is in there. And then also, I didn't hear anything as to or not it was their intent to put a private landing in, or they're going to have that. So that would be just a curiosity. Thank you.
Any questions for Jason? Thank you. You may have a seat.
My name is Omara Dunnigan. I'm at 16519 Bird Dock Road. Just wanted to point out a few of the things when I was looking through the zoning ordinance. Not a lawyer, I'm just looking through it as a resident full-time. We are directly, not directly, but we are across, we would see the campground. Some of the things that stood out to me when you're applying for this use permit is that the effect on the surrounding property, the condition will not harm the use or enjoyment of other property in the immediate vicinity for the purpose already permitted, nor substantially diminish or impair property values within the immediate vicinity. I think this application was put in a vacuum, saying this isn't going to affect anyone because they own the property on each side, and that's just not true. They obviously have waterfront access that's going to impact everyone in this room and beyond. So I think that it's very small-minded and short-sighted to think of that as anything else. As far as property values, don't think I'm a real estate agent, but I think anyone can say that putting small, these temporary homes, whether they're nice than $100,000 or something other than, is negatively going to affect the development that we've seen of the lake and the property values as they stand. Effect on orderly, consistent development is the second item under F. Again, that goes on to say that we are in a recreational lake, 150-foot frontage, has already been stated. We'll try not to do that again. Not a nuisance is another item that needs to be met, and it is not, obviously, with all of the additional boats that are being discussed. There's absolutely no way that it would not be a nuisance to have that many more, not only in the channel, but it's a small part of the lake back there. It is somewhat private, and having that many more boats, I'm not sure if that's double or triple what's there now, but it would be substantial, and it would significantly impact the noise in the area as well as the shoreline. There's other things here under six, additional criteria for shoreland areas, including pollution, view from public waters. I don't think that should be skipped over as well. It's going to significantly impact, and we know that development's going to happen. Nobody likes this idea. Everybody wants it to stay, but development is part of where we live, and that's okay. But it needs to be in a way that the lake can maintain as well as the people. And so I think the proposal is really quite ridiculous without looking at the impact of these things. And it goes right into the ordinance of Piper County. So then there's the watercraft area as well. So those are just the things that I pulled out looking at this application and going, this isn't gonna work. That's all.
All right, any questions going on?
Hello, my name is Wayne McDonough. I live at 15401 Maple Ridge West. I have lived at this location for really close to 40 years. I've seen the lake go through this before, the potential campground as was spoken earlier. My view on it is, if you look at Little Corman as a whole, there's a lot of property that's yet to be developed, just like this one. They're kind of peppered around the lake. There's multiple places like that. If they all get developed and they get their 150-foot shore and they all put a home on it or a cabin or whatever they're going to do, that lake is going to be so busy in the future without multi-dwelling, multi-purpose use places such as this. I think to consider this is wrong for that reason. I live on a point where the lake narrows slightly. It sits between two larger bodies. And on like the 4th of July weekend or some of the busier weekends, there's going to be an accident. It is so busy now with boat traffic, jet skis, tubers, big boats. You could just sit out there and go, ooh, and a little like, ooh. It's getting busier and busier. Now, if we fill in all the vacant property that's out there and they all follow the rule that already exists, we make this busier. The channel is one thing, it's busy. You go over there, you gotta take a turn. But when all the property gets developed, skipping things such as this, that lake has got 17 miles of shoreline, does not have acreage, doesn't have water acreage. So you put all these people on the lake, and then when you take all the water acreage, a lot of it isn't really deemed accessible for boating, tubing, skiing. It's too shallow, it's set back. So there's these pockets that are arranged on the lake that everybody plays in. And it's getting dangerous. I think this is a safety issue. I ask this board to turn this application down on that issue alone. I see it every weekend, on a busy weekend, and it's a matter of time. It's getting busy. And if everybody fills in the vacant land that's already there, it's gonna get busier. And that's their right to do so. But to allow permits for multi-use, I think you're asking for trouble.
Any questions for Wayne?
I do. So you talk about, you know, 100, if everybody gets their 150 feet, right?
Yeah.
How many boat lifts and docks can you put in that 150 feet?
Well, let's say each one has one or two.
Or three that. Or four.
Exactly, each one.
So this limits the 50.
I get that.
Okay, so I'm just saying on those eight, by Jason's
you're
comment.
You're saying we're adding 15 people to the lake. But what? I don't think so.
I'm not saying we're adding 50.
Well, you're saying
not, you're talking boats and your slip. Channel and your
yep.
usage, no different than a lake house has seven cars from all over.
How many properties?
Right.
They're asking for 49 now?
49 small structures.
Yep.
Not eight or 10 large structures that have four bedrooms.
So we put 50 people in what's designated for, like the gentleman said, maybe eight. That's what we're doing. So let's say you pass this, and this goes through, it's all good. What are we gonna do with the next one? There's another development. Says you passed one, why can you turn me down? And then what happens to the next one?
And this isn't the first campground that's passed by no means on very condensed.
This is a condensed lake, and that's my concern. That's all I really have.
I'm just stating the fact on docks that, you know, you're here, you're getting 15. If we put eight or 10 lock, you could have 20, 30. That's up to whoever the guy, the older they want.
Each property owner will have his own business. But you add them up. There's a lot of property that still isn't developed. You put them into play. This is going to get to be a busy little lake.
Any other questions for me? All right, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Dale Logie. I'm at 16159 Sugar Island Road. My wife and I did submit a letter previously that you should have in your packet. I just want to follow up statistically with some information that's just been shared. When I did some search, I found that the shoreline mileage of Big Corma was 18.7 miles. I looked to find what Little Corma was. I couldn't find it, but Wayne says that was 17, and then I heard from behind me it's 19. So if you think of Little Cormont and Big Cormont and look at the shoreline, they're almost identical within a mile. Then as you look at the surface area, Big Cormont has 3,657 acres. I found that in multiple sources. For Little Cormont, it's 924 to 1,067, and one source listed 600 acres of surface area. So now you're looking at the same shoreline, but you have a third of the acreage or a half of the acreage, depending on which one that is. So now when we've talked about the busyness of the channel and the lake, this statistically shows a comparison of a neighboring lake. The Little Corma Lake, with all of its shoreline and future development, will really be stressed for space if we put in something that has 48 sites or 49 sites, 15 slips, put those people on the water, and then if all the other shoreline is developed at 150 foot segments and puts in one or two or three docks or three boats, it really places an impact on an already stressed lake. Thank you.
Any questions for Dale? Thank you, Dale. Anybody else to speak to this application?
I'm Kimley Dunnigan. I live on 16519 Bird Dog Road. And I know if there are many more boats on Little Cormont Lake, it will affect us as people and also including our wildlife. Also, I'm specifically worried about our environment, and this will extremely impact our lives in a negative way. I just don't think that there should be any more boats because it will be too crowded.
All right. Any questions for her? Thank you very much.
Hi. I'm Karen Hurtigan, and I'm at 15805 Maple Ridge Road. Sorry, I'm nervous. I'm right across from the public access where people come in. And I would just like to say all the locals already use that lake. So there's all these people and then all the locals too. So I'm really concerned about it's busy on that bay right there. It's super busy already. So I just can't imagine that it wouldn't work, you know, and they're going to have to go through the channel to get to the slips on the other side. And I'm also really worried about the loons because we have a lot of loons. And I just already the ski boats on there. It's hard for the loons already, so thanks.
Any questions for Karen? Thank you very much.
I'm Robin Steenson, 19475 Sherman Shores Lane. I wasn't planning on speaking, but just sitting here, I think that something's being overlooked. When you rent a car, that car can go twice as fast in reverse It can break faster than our own cars. We have to realize that these people are renting these spots. I have pride in my property. I'm a Minnesota lake owner. I pay tax. And I care about the land. I care about my lot. I care about the water. Are people who are renting these slips going to put care in the lake, protect our lake, protect the land, like us as taxpayers and landowners do? That's what I have to say.
Any questions for Robin? Thank you. Have a seat. Anybody else to speak to this application?
Hello, my name is Robert Soborski. I live on 190th Avenue. I have the, my wife and I have the property adjacent to this proposed development. And I'm not gonna go through my letter because I sent it to you, and I appreciate you being here and going through all this with us. But I wanna address a couple things that I don't think everybody here is quite aware of, is the surface area of this lake where all these people are talking about traffic. And the real issue here is there's so many bays in that lake that become unusable. So everybody is funneled to literally strips of water, and that's why it becomes so dangerous. These bays, I'm right next door to this property. I've got a 50-foot dock that gets me to the edge of the cattails because we have so many cattails down there. I put a tape measure in the water this morning, 2 feet deep. That's at my dock. That's my, these people are going to be in water that same. What happens is these bays get covered. We get all this surface weeds that come up. It's part of, and the bay is beautiful. It's crystal clear because of the cattails, and these weeds keep the environment so well. But it also, you can't boat back there. You can't run your speedboat, you can't run your jet ski, because you go 10 feet, everything's plugged, you've torn up the lake. So what happens is, we've got a little channel that gets us out of here, everybody uses it, and then you go into the main lake. And that's exactly what's gonna happen with these people. Everybody, and it's dangerous right now. I can speak to a lot of people here that live, and I used to live on that part of the lake where there, it's getting really dangerous. And then you add these people into those little, because that's where the jet skis are, that's where the speedboats are going. And so it's extremely dangerous. Our property, we're gonna see this. The view of the hill, because it's on a hill, I went out today in the lake, there's nothing hiding this. I know that's in your ordinances. I went through, they're missing so much stuff in these ordinances. They're missing so much stuff that you require to approve this. There's so, and I can go through this. Again, I sent you a letter, so I'm not gonna bore you, but they are missing so many details in here. And to your point on the docks, yeah, you can put more than one dock at, you got a family. You can put more than one dock on your lot. You have a family there. These people, there's 49 units. So they're gonna fill that up, and then they're gonna go, how are they gonna get in? Are they gonna stick another dock or access? You don't know. Their plan that they proposed is missing so much information. Again, I'm not gonna go through it, but our property, we're 575 feet away from where this is being built. We will be able to see everything. It's gonna affect us, it's gonna affect our property values. One last thing, and I'll leave. All I'm gonna say is this. There's nobody in this room, I don't think, that would look at a property next to an RV park and not give it a second thought. Because and that's what's happening to our home that we spent our money and built.
Any questions for Robert? Anybody else to speak to this application?
My name is Kendra Hiring, and I live at 16312 Sugar Island Road. I think my only question, I guess maybe to your, stemmed off of your question, is a private residence, you have 7 or 8 cars come. Is there any cap to visitors that can come into the campground? Let's someone that has their camper at the campground, what's
preventing them from having friends come visit their camper for the day, bring additional boats. So that's just my question as far as the cap on other visitors coming into the campground as well. And just my testimony, because we, our house is right in the bay of the channel. So right out our dock is a line of boats waiting to cross through. And it's getting longer and longer. And just for me, with my three young boys out there, obviously we want to enjoy the lake, and it's becoming harder to do that, seeing a line of boats right out front of our dock. So,
right. Yep. Any questions for Kendra?
Yeah, I've got a question. You live right where that channel is.
Yes.
Just kind of an estimate, how many docks or how many boats do you see lined up going or waiting to go through the channel? Is it five at a time? Is there five there or 10 or more?
I would say around like five on my side. I don't see what's waiting on the other side on a busy weekend. And so a lot of times then you just have, yeah, five boats out there in our little bay waiting to take their turn. And so then it affects us too. We like to kayak around there or paddleboard, and it's just becomes hard to do that. A lot of boats there.
All right, any other questions for Kendra? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else to speak to this application?
Brad Hansen, 1789 298th Avenue. Olick's are going to operate the campground, right? Why is it up for sale?
Any questions? All right, anybody else to speak to this application? What's your name, please?
I'm Luke Lingard. I'm the chairman for Ogden Township. I've listened to everyone here today, and there's one issue that no one has brought up to my knowledge. It might be in the plans that haven't been discussed, but 190th Avenue is already a very well-traveled but gravel road. And when you put 49 more units on there, there's going to be need an additional maintenance plan for that. And as a township, how are we going to absorb that cost, or what is the maintenance plan, or is there pavement plans for that? You know, we've gone through developments and had maintenance or pavement plans for them. So I guess I'd just be looking for conversation with the township as to what's the plan for 190th for access to this, because we already have a very highly traveled road, one of the more highly traveled roads in Ogden. So.
All right, well, it sounds like they're coming to your meeting here coming up.
Yes.
So,
yep.
And they're sitting here, so I'm assuming they will address that at that time. So
sounds good.
Any questions for Luke? All right, thank you. All right, anybody else to speak to this application? Anybody else to speak to this application? All right, with that, and we have the right to recall you. So aside from the letters we have received, is there any other ones that we have received that we need to add to the record, Pat?
No, sir.
All right, before we close testimony, would anybody like to recall the applicant to ask some questions? Yeah, all right. The applicant, please step forward.
I realize that you're still in the forming process for a lot of the areas and whatnot, but it seems like there's a tremendous amount of interest as far as the shoreline area. I understand that you'll get 15 volt sites. And as I look at the plan, I see where one of the roads, there's kind of a curve that appears that that would be the Boxman area where the am I correct in that?
That's correct.
Okay. As far as other access, are there other docks planned for it, or for a swimming beach, or are there some of the things that people could use within that area that would keep them on site versus going elsewhere in the area, or where are you at on that thought process, or is that not something that you plan to include?
I mean, it's my understanding that I think there was probably not going to be a lot of support for a private access there, so we were not planning on that, for the impact of the lake. So as far as the beach area goes, again, I think there are limitations with that property line about what that would look like considering the conditions. So I guess I would say in relation to the swimming, you know, area and a lot of the other concerns that are being, aired with the whole boating, it seems like everything is centered on the excess amount of boating. And I would just, I guess, kind of respond to that, that I don't think that there's an assumption you can make that in every camper is out to do the same thing. Like, there's not a one-size-fits-all for camping and what people want to do with that. I don't necessarily believe people that would come to this campsite would be probably the type of people that say, hey, I want to bring my $100,000 wake boat and go boating on Little Cormorant. Most likely, they're going to go to Pelican or Big Cormorant or a lake that would substantiate that kind of boat.
Audience, please.
I mean, again, if you have a significant weight at a channel, I mean, people self-select in all forms of their life, right? Would you say, this is the lake, I'm going to go and wait for an hour to want to get through the channel? I would suggest that the 15 boats that are on the slip that we're proposing would likely be the amount of people that want boats out of the campsite. The other people would go recreational boating at other lakes that are more geared towards recreation. Why would you put yourself through that sort of frustration? You wouldn't do that likely. So, you know, as far as the beachfront, again, it's not a conducive waterfront to have this massive sandy beach. So we would put, a beach that's allowable via the DNR and everything inside the waterway. And that's what people would have to use. You know, you can't have something you can't have. So if it's not designed to have the greatest beachfront, then that would be the place where you would come with your, you know, family to expect that.
So as far as individuals that would choose to use the public access, which is, I think everybody knows, that some limited spaces there, would your expectation be that they would take their boat to the access, try and park it there, or drop the boat off and come around and park back at the resort or your campground? And I realize I'm kind of speculating here, but then what happens to their boat when they have to, would you have bathroom facilities down somewhere close to the lake, so when they came in to dock their boat to use whatever to pick up the, you know, some ice for their cooler or whatever, go up their camper, would that be a day? Would there be any day or temporary docking so they could get into their units to get things like that? Is that something that's been thought to? Otherwise, you end up with, it just seems like it's not a plan, and it seems like there could be more problems with moving stuff, moving boats and vehicles.
Well, I think with the 15 boat slips that would be allowed upon approval, those would be, rented or, taken by whoever was getting them, and other people would have to follow the rules we would, plan out, that they couldn't pull into someone else's slip to do that. So if they were bringing their boat, go to the public access, my understanding is there's not parking there, so you can't park where you can't park. They would have to find a way to put the boat in if they chose to boat on Little Cormorant and bring their boat and trailer to a place that was, they could park. And how they manage themselves on the boat, what they do, I think that with anybody with boating, you would have to make your own adult plans on that.
Okay, just wasn't sure, aware if you had some plans that are now in the planning stage. You don't have all the details quite yet, but if that's something that those things are you're looking at for to connect the lakes to the event or something else.
I don't have any more detailed plans on whether there would be something for them. They, again, would have to use the docks as they are assigned and appropriate.
I guess the way I read it, I reviewed the docking plan. The plan looks to me is that there is one temporary docking site because you have an odd number of slips,
yeah.
So you can't believe the number of sites. So this is actually having a temporary site.
that would house one boats temporarily. I see it's not numbered. You only get 15 slips,
yeah.
But the way you have to design an odd number of slips,
yeah.
You're always going to have a little extra top.
We will certainly follow whatever, you know, the recommendation or guideline would be if there's not an intention to have some kind of temporary docking there, because that's a, you know, not what people want, then we would fall in line with that and make sure the campers know that that is not, it's not part of the options they have available to them.
All right. Any other questions for Bob?
Yep.
Hey, Steve.
Going with this dock thing again, on your application that we got, it would have been nice to see the dock information there so we could have had a chance maybe to go out and look. And instead, we got it today. And so I guess from the discussion at the technical committee that we had at the meeting, it was described that shoreland area where the docks are going in, there's cattails and it's muck. Somebody said you sink into your knees. And so as far as a place for boats to land, maybe possibly at one site there might be a spot for a boat to come in and let people off and so forth. But any given weekend or even during the week, you're going to have a number of boats possibly you're going to have to deal with. And they can't even get the shore there. You know, there's cattails. They can't get out of their boat because it's sinking in the muck. That dock, without a place for other boats to land, is a major problem for anybody coming into that area or leaving from the campground, being picked up. That's a major problem that you're going to have to figure out how to solve, and it's not solved yet. So I guess, how are you going to handle it?
Steve, the have a temporary site, the docking plan has a temporary site identified.
Yeah, one, yeah. Which I mentioned. But when you're talking a whole bunch of boats, extra than the nine, possibly, let's say out of the 34, let's say maybe half of them show up. You're talking 17 boats coming and going at that landing, that extra dock, and that's not going to work.
I think, again, the assumption is all of these people are going to have boats and they're all going to expect to come to the docking area, and that would be made clear that that is not part of their arrangement. They don't have a slip. They don't have dock access. So if they choose to bring a boat on that water, which anybody can do in the public, they don't have access to this boating docking slip. They're not part of the 15. So they would be a violation of the rules that we would have. And if they had a complaint with that, then they would have to not bring a boat.
Can they park their boat at their RV campsite? If they have an RV there, they have space for one more spot, evidently.
You mean off the water? You mean on
the
property?
Up in the campsite area. They can park their boat at the campsite.
Yes, we would have available parking for them as an option for their boats.
So that's legal. So they're still going to be moving boats into that access on the highway, trying to get up across through that channel to the dock to maybe pick up somebody or pick up equipment or whatever they're picking up. This dock that you've got there is not going to work.
Again, I think the assumption is you're saying that they're going to do that and come back with the boat slip, and all I'm saying is they don't have a boat slip, so that is not an option for them by the rules. So what they choose to do, if that's going to be a problem for them, then they won't have to not bring a boat.
You know, you're going to have people coming there to that dock to pick people up, no matter what you say about the rules and stuff. So, in other words, those 34 people who may have boats parked at the campsite, you aren't going to let them come to shore after they drop their boat in. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying if it becomes a problem for them to get there because of the number of boats that are there, then they don't have first priority to be there because they don't have a slip.
I have a question. Okay, I camped for 30 years and I never had a boat. Not everybody's going to bring a boat.
And that's kind of what I thought I mentioned earlier, is that it's an assumption that everybody that wants to do this has to have a boat in tow and has to get on the water. And I don't know that you can assume all of that worst case scenario from happening. if this isn't the most desirable place for people to participate in that, then this could be an attraction place for people that want to camp and be outdoors, but not be recreational boating. They would do that where that's more enjoyable.
All right, any other questions for Bob?
Were these gonna be seasonal sites?
Or yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Any other questions for Bob?
One thing that was mentioned was a storm shelter or something that could possibly be required for a resort. Have you looked into that at all?
Haven't gotten to the level of details on that. I think we wanna make sure, you know, once if there's a permit approved, that we would wanna make sure that it fall in line with whatever is either needed or requested, and make the property safe for the participants that are there, and have that type of a storm shelter if that's what the recommendation is.
But would we need to know where this requirement might be?
No, basically the CUP would be like a prerequisite to a resort license through the state.
The state regulates the storm shelter piece.
Yep.
All right, any other questions for Bob? Thank you, Bob. All right, with that, testimony is closed. We'll open it up for board discussion.
I'll just state on the docking piece, we just did one on Elba Lake, last year, 2 years ago, and we only had 8 flips. And he had the same amount of units, so obviously they're getting through the pound point. You know, people aren't, they only got 8. So, people can do with 8. And obviously I've talked to the gentleman that's running it, and he's been a successful business owner. So, they have to go to, and he doesn't have an access. I wouldn't propose an access at this site because of the shoreline there. It kind of made sense on the lake where you could get it in, but people didn't want that, so, okay. Cool. So the dock, people have to the owner's point. They have to figure out how to use it for their enjoyment.
On Elbow Lake, is there places to park for daily boat use?
Nope. No. They got the commissioner deemed 8 flips.
I agree with what Steve's saying. There could be 34 extra boats. Could be. Could. Not saying there will be, but there could be.
And in that same application, that person could have got more flips, but they were required to reuse their slips, causing even more of an issue for babies. Not from here, but from other areas.
So I think part of the concern is that even though they only can have 15, that's there, but it's the rest of the lake that they could, there is off the parking.
That's
additional.
Completely.
Yep.
I mean, complete speculation.
I think one of the limitations to it is people who have boats in the campground is that they might, and it was presented this way, but if you go to the little farmer access, there's probably room for 4, maybe 5 boats in that particular area. And you put trailers on there, probably 4 parking spots. And then if you go out on the township road, you can park on it, but it's somewhat difficult to find a spot to turn around to come back and get your boat picked up. Plus you're walking away, so I think that would probably have some limiting effect on who would go and when they would go. Obviously a weekend like the 4th of July, I think it's limited by first come, first serve, and people would come quite early for that.
That's mostly.
But only a few people too, so.
Yeah, there's channel, Floyd Lake's got a channel. I have a boat on it, I wait there. Right in front of a person's house. The channel is designed to transport boats. Wait in line, take the county tram, go to the campground just south of town. It's got 80 slips in the tram over area, and they all wait in the river for hours on a busy week. Hours, because I've been there. To me, it wasn't desirable that I ever go back, absolutely not. But some people love it. So, the wait, that's not for us to determine. That's not for a policy.
I think the one thing that I think about and will think about is what the gentleman proposed about what our current comp plan says about this area and this lake.
comp plan, though, I mean, Lakeshore is treated different than two. I mean, if you go off the lake, you need 2.5 acres. You can put them next to the lake, condense them, shrink it up, pile them in, and get on there. So, I mean, the comp plan doesn't even address that. Because you just go, you know, if you did this, were to be plotted off, it'd be 2.5 acres, unless they did a subdivision and went through the planning process. And, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the plan already says that this area should be condensed. Right? I mean, yes, it says protect natural resources, but not. You say it, but not along the lake, because the way that the development is 150 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's an argument between the 8 and 10, which could determine some dock sites, and I don't understand, I don't really know that. I mean, I can't argue. It's not surveyed, I don't see it. Should it be 8, should it be 10? That's kind of like, that's the one thing I'm hung up on.
Are the dock sites?
Yeah, well, the 8 or 10. Because if you're measuring it from the outside of cattails, or you're measuring it from the green tree line.
Doesn't the DNR determine where the...
Well, it's from the ordinary high, but Meadowland Surveying did determine how many lots they could have there.
And they based that on the county, because I think the question was, is it straight line or do you take your shoreline?
It would be how many lots are being would be allowed to be created there.
Correct, but in that...
So you have to measure, you have to have 150 at the shoreline and you have to have 150 at 100 feet back.
Correct.
Yep, so
but you're not
Meadowland...
curves, it's just straight shots.
Well, it depends. They, I mean,
that's the question.
But I mean, but Meadowland has the ability on their CAD drawing to say 150 feet of width, 150 feet back, 150 feet of width, and they determine that. I mean, I specifically asked them to do that because I knew that would be a hang-up, right? But I don't know who else to better resolve that than a surveying company, if that makes sense. I did
I
want to point out one thing in
the curves versus straight line. I mean, that is a that's different.
No, but I'm just saying Meadowland determined how many single-family residential lots could be on this property, and that number is 10.
And that's what he's using his license. He's stamping and saying, "I'm a licensed
he's saying,
state of Minnesota and it's stamped by the rules." Right? That's what you're saying, Kyle. Correct.
Well, I asked them.
Because your speculation between 8 and 10. And
I asked them to complete that, and that's what they came up with was 10. So I mean.
Okay. Yeah, that's a professional.
So
license.
if this land is developed, could have 10 houses on it.
Right.
Without having to come to the board for
no, they would have to plat it to have 10. They could create 4 every 3 years, otherwise by meets and bounds, but
so if there was 10, they could go in there. That would be basically 10 at the probably maybe I'm going to say average 10 boats. Some people might have 2, some people might not have any. So let's say there's 10 boats there, which what we're looking at now with this application is 15 possible boats for sure, with another if people have boats or if they are just going to come and camp and not have a boat, you're looking at maybe another 17. So you're looking at, you know, 30 boats probably that would be extra that you're throwing onto the lake if we grant this thing, as compared to probably 10 if it were to be built up into homes. And I know the comment was made about the idea of the RVs is maybe less of a problem as compared to the farmland with the runoff and so forth, but you're kind of forgetting about the impact of all the extra boats on the lake and on the water. And when you're putting, you know, that many more boats in a small area, you're stirring up the bottom, you are putting more phosphorus, bringing that back up, which is going to grow more algae, which is going to make the water less clear. That's kind of what happens when you have boats going through, you know, a shallow area. And so the RV, to me, I think the RV impact with the number of boats going onto the lake is a huge more impact to the lake itself, and it's a negative impact. affecting a resource that a whole lot of people on this particular type of lake. It's kind of special. It's, you know, it's not shaped like any other normal lake. You know, maybe we should have some consideration for the water here and what that's going to do to the lake, as far as impacting it, and not just the number of, you know, homes, not just the number of RV sites. You know, it's a water impact, and all these people out here. If you read through all those 75 or so emails, they're concerned with the water quality, the impact, the safety of people on the water, the safety of people, you know, parking their boats and so forth, or boat trailers along that highway when they're trying to get into the access. There's a lot of concerns that, given the lake the way it is, these people should be heard and listened to, and yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
When on Lake Mott, that guy had that multi-unit, huge development because of the amount of space on that lake and the depth, and we got depth issues here. We did better. He only ended up with 10 out of the whole deal. He split into his lots and sold it that way because the lake cannot handle that amount. And it's happened a few years even beyond that, but that's years back, and we have had to deny it. The space can't take it.
Mr. Chair, in all fairness to both the people here, but also the applicant, because they do have the same right, page 89 of the comprehensive plan defines this as Policy District 3. It is an economic and population center of the county. It has significant resort and tourist-orientated development, and most of the counties develop lakeshore. The final selected policy in the comp plan for this district is to promote the district's tourists and recreational assets and locally owned resort properties. So that comp plan it contradicts itself. Just to be aware.
83.
I think you mentioned 83, that's page 89, but you have to consider both of those when, you know.
But as far as the recreational piece of that, what you're talking about, there gets to be a point where the recreational carrying capacity, somebody mentioned, of the lake gets to be detrimental and harmful to the lake.
And I would give significant, I don't remember the gal who spoke, but I mean, she went through the criteria that you're considering, that's what you should stick to. Is the criteria that she found in our zoning ordinance? I mean, we get this way or that way, but you should stick to that. And whether it's this way or that way, you have to identify how this is going to harm the use and enjoyment of these neighboring properties or something of that. I mean, we could spend all day talking about algae and things of that nature,
sure.
But you really need to stick to the criteria in there.
Yeah, our 5 points for approval or denial is what we have to call.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't have in that what we speculate for water quality. That's not part of
speculation number of all uses.
Right. Yeah. Right, like so that. All right. Any further discussion?
I would have one suggestion, based on what we've been talking about here, and the comp plan that we have, and the idea of putting RV sites on a lakeshore, a mud or a pud or whatever they're called. I think that's something that in our new comp plan, we should talk to that and have some kind of a look at the ordinance around that.
Steve, and that's fine, but we're not here to discuss the new comp plan.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm just saying that in the future, we should have a discussion on our in our new comp plan about this topic. That's all I'm saying.
And you're correct, but like I say, that's not for this evening's discussion.
Right.
Mr. Chair, only one thing I'd like to add. You know, several people talked here about, you know, the number of boats. Like Cole is saying, it is, all of this land is going to get developed someday. It is going to happen. There's going to be more boats. The thing that I'm struggling with, and the one gentleman that's at the property, I think it's to the north, whatever direction that is, but off on the side, on the other side of 190. As I walked across that field and looked to where, you know, this development is going to be, it is definitely going to be a detriment to them, to me, and maybe to their property value, because that is what they're going to see. Is I don't see how you're going to hide it. They're going to be looking at 49 campers.
All right, any further discussion? Any further discussion?
It's tough because I do think it's a need as well too, as far as more RV sites. There's, like you said, there's a waiting list. You go to other places and then get them. It's prices of land and property and everything. It makes it a very distant reach for someone to be able to try and grab a hold of this Minnesota dream summer of even just a little slice where you're in a camper. So it's, that part is tough.
Yeah. Correct to your point, I mean, I completely agree with that person at one property, you know, but a visual, I mean, look, I mean, I think about Long Lake, they piled $1 million homes all over it, and they got two huge resorts. Well, now one's not a resort, it's a common interest community or whatever, but Long Lake Campground, and there's two monster houses right next to each side, and they both built after that campground was there, because the Wolves built that 80 years ago, so someone chose that a campground's not that bad of a name. Right.
Fine.
And I'm just throwing that out there because that's just one example. Yes, visually, completely. I completely get the visual aspect on the side hill. You know, like the back of the lake, top or back of the trees, but we don't have that piece here, right? So it's like, how do you? Right.
I think the difference there is those people chose to build next to
right.
a campground.
Right. Exactly.
This is a campground coming next to.
Yeah, and when you read, you know, and again, when you look at number one and number five, when this starts talking in there, is what is this gonna do to the neighboring property? Will it potentially impair the property values? In this situation, I'm saying, for that one individual anyway, it probably will. But that's my only point.
I live in Little Detroit Lake, and there's houses every 100 feet on Detroit Lake. And I don't see any boats on the weekends.
All right, any further discussion?
I got one thing else to say here. Becker County is rich in water resources, and overloading the use of lakes to the point of where it's detrimental to the water quality, to safety, it gets to a point where our lakes, we may have them, but they aren't gonna be enjoyable to be on. People won't wanna be out there.
Steve, I'm gonna stop you right there, because that's not one of our criteria. I understand your passion for that, but that is not, I mean, we have nothing in our ordinance that allows us to speculate on water quality, so.
I understand.
Yeah. All right, any further discussion?
Well,
hearing
one
none.
More thing. One more thing. How can you do the 5 points that we consider? Craig pointed out one. Can you tell us?
They're right in your packet, Mary, if you pull up the application, the questions.
They're listed right in order, 1 through 5.
Okay. Well, there's some additional. Yeah, there's some additional questions there. And I would advise whether you choose to approve or deny that we set a special meeting to consider, you know, like if, to Craig, to your point, if you're going to base that on a property value, then we're going to need evidence supporting that, so we're going to need to hire an appraiser, because we can't.
No, I get that.
For the sake of everybody, we just can't speculate. We'd have to, we need a fact, so we'd need some time to develop that.
question on the vehicles that Kyle brought up and I never got addressed. A campground campsite is designed for two vehicles plus a camper, right? That's the spatial design. Is that true?
It's 2,500 square feet, yeah. I mean, normally two parking spaces.
Okay. But they could have a back lot parking lot business, whatever they want.
Right.
And is that in here on that plan? I look for that.
Well, Kyle's saying that they're all 2,500. They're all
based at 2,500. For overflow traffic and the boat trailers and that. I couldn't find
that. I don't know if it's on that actual, the number two drawing you have, but in the permit proposal, it's indicated there'd be parking overflow to the east of the campsites.
Is there a lodge or a store?
Here.
Yeah. I have a question. Can we? Is there a possibility of tabling this so we can find out some of the information of the, like the road, the 190th Street Road? That's a concern. There's more questions to ask.
Right. Yeah. No.
Other than trying to do a vote without having those answers.
No, you certainly have the right to table.
And the applicant has the right as well.
Right. So.
Any further discussion? If not, I would entertain a motion. We have three options: motion to approve, motion to deny, or a motion to table.
I'll make a motion that we deny this application.
We have a motion by Steve to deny this application. Do I have a second? Do I have a second? Do I have a second? Motion dies due to a lack of a second.
I move that we table this till we get the township input and a little more from the, go through these points from the tech channel a little more clear.
And more detail on the plan?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have a motion by Mary to table this application. Do I have a second? We got a second by Jeff. Any further discussion? None. I will call a vote. All those in favor of tabling this application, raise your hand. All right. Motion approves. Table this application. All right, so this will not, just for clarification, has been tabled. This will not be going to the county commissioners on May 7th. I also just like to thank everybody who came here tonight. For one, being courteous, I know this is a very big issue for people out in that area. I appreciate you taking your time to be here as well. So
what does that mean that it's tabled? So what happens now? I don't know.
So it will show up for us on old business at our next meeting.
Next meeting. Okay.
Right.
Well, so, not necessarily, Mr. Chair. If they, depending on how long the applicant takes to develop that stuff with the township, but the most important thing is before you act on this, everybody that got a notification the first time will get one again. But I don't want you to assume that it will be next month because it may be longer.
Thank you.
So it will come to our initial.
It doesn't necessarily need to be the next meeting, no. Because
it wouldn't be a special meeting.
No.
Yes, so yes. Just for clarification, everybody who received notification on this application, which was within the specific distance, what's sent out is what's required by the county.
Do you want to explain the requirements so they understand or not? You can clear that question.
Kyle, do you want to explain the requirements of who received the notification?
Do you have the list of how many people?
Yes.
Can you explain the criteria? That's what they're asking.
It's everybody within a quarter mile.
So everybody within a quarter mile is receiving the notification.
So can we request the association president get one? They can distribute it to all of them?
He does get one. Okay, so yep. As part of the notification process, you will get one.
So there will be notification sent out, and it will be part of the post thing for the meeting, for the upcoming meeting, whenever that is, it will be posted. So, all right, with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. That motion by Mary, second. Tommy, all those in favor, raise your hand. Meeting adjourned.
Doesn't it have to go back to the township?
So it's going to go to the township May 6th.
Township, not the commission.
Right. It won't go to the county board now until it'll have to come back here again before it can go to the county board.